Good day, good morning or evening. I'm so glad you've joined us for this podcast. We are at University Park United Methodist Church, and I'm Stephen Fleming. We're having a conversation with Jerry Zimmerman, and she and I are going to visit for a little while in this segment of our program, Wisdom of the Sages. Jerry, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's very good to be here. I'm glad I'm able to.
We're on the tail end, we hope, of this horrible year we've spent in dealing with the COVID crisis. Have you been okay through it all?
Oh, yes, I really have. I so much miss seeing family because I have a good-sized family of nieces, nephews, and their children.
Yeah.
I really have stayed away from big family gatherings, and it surprised me that two or three of my nieces here in Dallas have had COVID, but then they are members of churches that have stayed open as long as they possibly could. I think maybe churches are closed by order, but these were Baptist churches, and they do operate a little differently. And I think that was foolish to do.
Well, we've had to make a lot of changes this year because of this.
Oh, yes.
And now it's a strain of it now is said to be even more infectious.
Yes.
So. I'm glad you've been taking care of yourself, and I understand you've gotten your first shot.
My first shot, and I go back for the second one, I believe the 17th
yeah.
of this month.
Well, that's great. That's a big deal. It gives you a sense of safety that
yes.
We've just all been feeling so vulnerable. Well, you've got a big family. How did you grow up? Did you grow up in a big family, Jerry?
Oh, yes. I grew up in Greenville, Texas, which is not far from here to the east. My father was a cotton farmer, and I've kiddingly told people that I'm from Tidwell, Texas, which is a suburb of Greenville, which was, when I was growing up, it was simply a church, a general store, but a 12th grade school. So this was, to me, Tidwell was a big place because these were all the people that I knew.
Well, I know. Which side of Greenville did you grow up? Was Tidwell?
I'm sorry?
Which direction from the center of Greenville was Tidwell?
Oh, north.
North?
Yeah.
Well, you'd know about Cumbie and Fate and some other communities like that that still on the map.
Still on the map.
My grandfather was a circuit preacher in the Hopkins County area. So you went to school there? Were you in a big family?
Yes, I have three older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Two are still living. One sister died about 10 years ago. But my oldest sister will be 102 in March.
And is she in pretty good health?
She was until Friday, and she broke her first bone. Friday broke a hip.
Oh, my dear.
They operated successfully Sunday afternoon, and she's doing well.
Well, good. Sure
she seems
continues.
Undestructible.
That's wonderful.
She is in a small home environment where there are a few other, I think there are about eight people who need looking after constantly, but she still knows who we are and talks of family, but is not too concerned past that. She remembers our childhood, and we're apt to talk about 50 years ago rather than today.
So you graduated from high school in the Greenville area?
In Greenville,
And did you go off and seek your fortune and fame from there?
I came to Dallas. My oldest sister had married and was living here in Dallas. And I lived with she and her husband. In those days, relatives passed young ones around. So you were always with a relative. You didn't go out by yourself. But I worked in some very small jobs here in Dallas. I went to Crozier Tech night classes, and that was where I learned shorthand and typing. And then I did secretarial work for probably the next, maybe off and on, the next 20 years.
Oh, my.
I was never all that great, but I could earn my own living, which was fine. But then after I married, well, I was working then for W.L. Pickens, an independent oil operator, if you ever knew people in the oil business.
Yes.
He had an office downtown, and I worked for him for probably 4 or 5 years. But then we had 2 children, and I just stayed home with the children after they were born.
Yeah.
But I married into I'm Baptist by upbringing and teaching, but I married into a Methodist family, and the elder, Walter Zimmerman, was a Methodist minister all of his life, and his son, Walter Lynn, my husband's brother, it was a Methodist minister all of his life. He died about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned Sulphur Springs. He was the, I think his last job in the church was he was the superintendent. What do you call?
You're right, superintendent.
Yeah. And he enjoyed that, I think, because you could kind of boss people around. And he was, he liked that.
Well, the nice way of saying that is supervision. Supervision. He was.
But it was. I was very fearful of marrying into a minister's family, but learned that they're the most forgiving of who we are. The Baptists are good at pointing out what you need to change. But my Methodist experience in the home was that they were forgiving and very welcoming.
Well, I won't argue with you about that.
Well, the Baptists just have a different mindset.
They may indeed. That was while you were in Dallas that you met your husband and married and started a family?
Yes, I met my husband at a YMCA dance in downtown Dallas.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever even heard of those.
Oh, yeah.
But I was 23, I think, 24, along through there. And prior to that, I had gone with the State Department and worked in Europe for the State Department for 2.5 years, which I dearly loved and would recommend anybody to live outside the U.S. for a while, because we have so much more that it's you could be very thankful for the country that you're in.
Yeah.
But when I came back to Dallas, I had 2 women friends that were still here, and we shared an apartment, and one of them invited me to go with her downtown to these dances, and I think it was no live music. It must have been a photograph or something. And people just arrived, and everybody danced together. And from what I experienced and saw, it was a good place for people to go. Now, there may have been other parts of it that I never saw, but I do think it was well attended. Well attended.
Give us a bit of a time frame. What decade was this? When are we?
This was in the 1950s. My husband and I married in 1956, I believe.
Okay.
in his father's church,
okay.
which scared me to death. But we made it through. I had a really hard time. I was afraid I would disrupt his family. But apparently I didn't. It was all very, very loving and very good.
Did your father give you away?
No, my father had died about 5 years before that. My oldest brother-in-law gave me away, which he absolutely loved. Went out and bought new clothes. It was a wedding in the church, but it was not a formal wedding.
Okay.
In those days, you always had the reception at the church, and it was simply cake and punch, I guess is what we had.
You didn't experience any shunning by your family for marrying into a bunch of Methodists?
No, I think if they felt any, they did not say anything to me about it. They were pleased with my choice of a husband.
Well, that
and liked him.
Yeah.
And that made it more harmonious for the family.
Well, somehow or other you found your way to the doors of University Park, United Methodist Church.
Yes, my husband and I went back to church the first 2 years we were married to his father's church at Pleasant Grove. Pleasant Mounds, maybe that's what the name of that community is. But then our first child was born, and this changes everything. Because to get up and drive, get everybody ready and drive across town was quite an undertaking. It was so much simpler to come, and we lived in the neighborhood at this time. We were over on McFarland was our first home.
Oh.
And so, you know, a 10-minute drive versus 45 minutes, it made a difference. And that his father then, his last pastoral here was closer to where we lived.
Uh-huh.
And we had made friends here by that time.
Okay.
And of course, he was not bothered. Now, we did take our children to his church to have them baptized.
Sure.
Because he wanted that, and
yeah.
I don't think this church minded at all. It was all Methodist. But then he died in the early 70s, as I recall. It's hard to remember exact dates. But he was such a lovely man, such a lovely man. He would assure me that I wasn't all bad.
Well, I'm definitely glad to hear that.
But he was such a compassionate man.
Oh, that's great.
And he was a good preacher, and he loved the people.
Yeah.
So he was certainly a good influence on my life because he was just a fine man.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I wanted to ask you about those people that you feel had played an important role in forming you and your character. And I've always advocated, I think it's never done any young people harm to be in the Baptist church for a while because they learn the Bible.
They do.
In the Baptist
yes.
church. And you may have had some teachers growing up or Sunday school teachers or...
I had Ms. Puckett.
All right.
Mrs. Puckett taught in Tidwell, Texas. She taught, I guess, all of the kids from age about 7 or 8 up to 16. It was a small church, so they lumped us in groups. But she was very faithful, and she was very kind to us, and she taught us.
Uh-huh.
I always remembered her because she worked. She also played the piano, and she sang quite well. So she was almost indispensable to the church where I grew up. But, you know, later her mind became very clouded. At a fairly early age, but it was after I was gone from the community. But it just seemed like an unfitting end to her life.
Unfitting, unfair.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a real sadness.
But I can see her clearly.
Yeah. Some others, maybe, later on in your life, out at Crozier Tech, did you... make a relationship with any...
No, Crozier Tech. In the night classes, I don't remember a lot of getting to know.
Yeah.
And the only person that paid, you know, that I remember talking to much, the young man turned out to be married with small children. Mm. And was much too interested in me. And when I realized he was married, then I just simply went another way. But for some reason, that's what I remember Crozier Tech for, because I guess it was my first experience with people not being truthful, particularly on opposite sex.
Yeah.
The young men I had known to then probably were people that I knew to start with, but he was someone that I just met there at the school. So,
well, that's I appreciate you sharing that. Most people want to share nothing but happy relationships, but you can learn a lot from other experiences like that.
Well, I learned to ask a few questions.
And you learned something about how important truthfulness was to you.
It's, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our character is formed by so many different things that happen along the way, and we don't know sometimes when we're going through it how we're being shaped. How are you living your life now that you've reached this level of maturity? You look back, and I'm sure there are things that may have seemed awfully important at one time, and now they don't seem so important. What are the real nuggets of gold in your pan, you know?
Well, I don't worry about things that I can't control. And particularly where family is concerned, I'm interested, of course, and willing to discuss, but I try not to make any strong, heavy statements because people don't want to hear them. Two children and my extended family are people that enjoy each other. We don't have a lot of conflicts. And a friend of mine was so surprised when I one day said, I have never had a fight with my sisters. But we never fought. We depended on each other too much, actually, I guess. We were afraid to fight for fear we'd lose them because we needed each other as we were growing up.
That's so wonderful to hear. You either intuitively or maybe knowingly knew you needed each other. And sometimes people don't get that. You know, they just don't know that they need people. That's such a gift and a blessing to have known that.
Yes.
I'm happy for you that you
did. After my husband died, my oldest sister, who's lived in Garland, the one that's about to be 102, she was always close enough that whenever I really needed something, all my life, for all of the family, if you ask her, she always had time to do it, whatever it was. Finally, as she got older, my niece, her daughter, finally suggested that maybe I could call somebody else. They didn't want their mother driving over at night to even to Dallas. That was too far. So I adjusted myself.
Well, you're such a dear person, and you've been a pillar of this church since the 50s.
Yes, a long time.
Your loyalty and your support and your affability, I think everybody I know has who had any opportunity to get to know you just thinks of you as such a pleasant person and delightful to get to know. And I've enjoyed having this chance to get to know you a little better myself. And I hope you, if you're listening to this podcast or feeling the same way, Jerry, it's just been a real pleasure to have this time with you.
Thank you.
And thank you. And thank you for listening in to this podcast, this recording of Wisdom of the Sages. Join us next week when we have some time in conversation with another dear member of our senior members of our church. Good day and God bless.